Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. I can. Hold on. We're off the air. We're going to go on the air in a few minutes. Just hold on, okay?
But you can hear me all right.
We are going to be talking with Bob Fletcher, who has been known for his testimony in the Iran-Contra affair, to which he was very instrumental. Bob Fletcher's investigations.com is the way to get in touch with him and his work. I happen to be here listening to Alex Jones the other day when I heard, just turned it on, boom, it was introduced. And he started talking about new information and whatnot on Planet X. Now, this guy is not just somebody, around the block. He has really been instrumental in the Contra affair and so on. So I thought, I'd love to talk to Bob more about this because, of course, when you listen to Alex, there's a lot of commercials and whatnot and a lot of different guests and so on, so you don't get a lot of time. Well, here we have time. And so I contacted Bob Fletcher. He agreed. It was going to be on last week, but then I ended up getting in trouble with heading to leave town. And so he was gracious to push it up a week. And I want to welcome to Feet the Fire, Bob Fletcher. Welcome, Bob.
Hi. Thanks a lot, James. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, hear you fine.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. We had a little trouble there in the beginning. For several years, going back to the 90s, actually earlier, going back to the 80s, I had heard about underground facilities being built like crazy, underground secret covert hideouts. They were called continuity of government programs. And this, by the way, fell right into the Iran-Contra stuff, because when Reagan and his Vice President Bush were in control in the early 80s, was when they expanded the continuity of government program like crazy. Now, this was super secret stuff. It was underground facilities, all right, around the country, different places. And originally, it was on the basis, like the Cheyenne Mountain, on the basis of atomic war, possible attacks. But things changed in the 80s, in the early 80s, and Ronald Reagan went before the United Nations and made a strange speech. Everybody wanted to know what he was talking about. And he said, I wonder how well all the different governments of the world would come together if we had a threat from outer space that was coming into into the country. And he even used the word alien, but I don't, not necessarily applying the term alien as in
an ET.
Alien.
You're just outside, away from him.
Right, alien as opposed to something we may be familiar with. Although, we don't want to get away from the idea of alien people because or entities, because that does enter into it, as a matter of fact. But the bottom line was, here's what we had. We had all of a sudden he started a thing called Star Wars Initiative. All right, and we put up all kinds of telescopes and new sensing devices of all sorts up out in circling the globe on the concept being told to the American people that we were going to be able to identify the launches of rockets. You know, somebody was going to shoot a rocket from Russia, we know right away, and we'd be able to shoot it down in outer space and all that. That was baloney. They were faced outward. All of this Star Wars Initiative stuff, the telescopes and all the sensing devices and all the rest of that they were putting in outer space, that was all faced outward, not inward. It wasn't watching Earth. It wasn't watching the globe. It was watching outer space. Now, what had happened many years ago, the old Planet X, which, by the way, the X represents 10, the number 10, the 10th planet. It's not X as in X-Files or something like that. It's Planet X, which is also called Nibiru. It's been written about historically going back 2,000 years before Christ. It's like not some new concept or anything, that's for sure. Back in the 50s, it was noticed by scientists and astronomers that there might be something out there. they wrote things in Life magazine about it and Reader's Digest and everything. But they said, don't worry about it because it's going to be 50 years before you have to worry about it. Okay, well, that 50 years has come, okay? And what happened in the in 1983, 85 was when the notification at the highest level of government came back and said, uh-oh, it looks like that Planet X, that a guy named Sitchin, Mr. Dr. Sitchin, who had written about deciphering all these old Sumerian clay tablets, which were like 2,000 years before Christ, the first written dialogue on Earth was done by the Sumerians, and they wrote profusely about the 10th planet.
Let me stop there for a second. If I can go back, did you,
yes, sir.
You said it was in Time magazine in the 50s. They talked about finding somebody. Is there an actual time?
Yeah, there was way back in the 50s. There were these, it hit the scientific level to where, and astronomers and everything, where they were saying, you know, we're not sure what it is, but certain group of astronomers are saying that there's something out because it's affecting planets way, way out there. And, you know, and now back then, you know, I mean, they didn't know. They were not very astute compared to what we are now in terms of the ability to see things and find things and all the rest of that.
I mean, when I was in grammar school, I was taught that the sun had an invisible twin. I mean, this was common at that time. They don't talk about it now, but at the time there was talk about, but an invisible twin may not be the same as the Nibiru thing.
But I think that probably was it. And it was kind of, you know, it was like nobody could put their finger on it. It was like, oh, we think it is, and a few people believed it, and a few people didn't. And But then they said, well, it's so far out, you know, forget about it. Let's watch The Lone Ranger on television, and that's how old I am. That was the first glimmer of it, so to speak. And again, what was really strange, one of the stories said something about being 50 years before we have to worry about it. None of us will be alive. It was that kind of a thing. See? So don't worry about it. But what happened apparently some point in time in the in the 80s, like I said, with Ronald Reagan and George Bush at the helm, the notification came in that, it looks like this thing might really be coming, and if it is, we're going to really be in trouble, you know. And so right away, again, you know, being the bad guys, the limited few, the elite upstairs there, they said, well, okay, let's, you know, what do we have to do? You know, the heck with the American people, what do we have to do? And that was when they started expanding these underground facilities, all right? And I literally received photographs and some video footage in the early 90s about several of these, had gone down under the Denver airport, had snuck down underneath with a lady friend at that time, and were able to get down underneath, and I saw some of what was going on underneath the airport in Denver. It's mind-boggling. It's a big confab. But these are all over the place. There are approximately 100 underground facilities. The one at Cheyenne Mountain, see, now they've removed, which is one of the best. It's an older place, but it's really well done. And it goes down, you know, like 23 or several levels. And then there's another one called Dulce, which is an underground facility that's like 23 floors down. You know, some of these are gigantic. They're interfaced with not only underground roadways, but they even have high-speed maglev trains that they're able to run extremely high speed underground in some of these facilities. They are interfaced and connected in several different locations. This is where the money went. This is where you can vanish $1 trillion. This is where the money went. The Russians In 2010, trying to get my numbers right in my head here. This is all just off the top of my head. The Russians in 2010, they put out a thing and they said, we will be building 5,000 underground shelters, survival shelters for the Russian people, and that they will be done by 2012. And they have, for the most part, completed them. Now, we're not talking, in this case, we're not talking as big as the ones I'm talking about in the United States, but we are talking 5,000, and we are talking underground survival facilities. All the survival food people that produce large quantities have been supplying the United States government with tons of survival foods for their underground facilities. The United States government, under the banner of Homeland Security and every other little miscellaneous bureaucratic operation that could get away with it, has been buying millions of rounds of bullets, thousands of weapons, fully automatic weapons. They have been, everybody that is a member of Homeland Security has been ordered to be qualified to fire automatic weapons and qualified for shotguns and crowd control knowledge and understanding. That's as of this month. This month, that was literally an order that came out. The order came out a while back. They were supposed to be qualified as of about a week ago. They have ordered thousands of watertight tanks and riot control vehicles. 2,700 of them were to have been supplied and shipped as of about 3 weeks ago to their destinations here in the United States. Now, what are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about 100 under just the United States. We'll talk about that. 100 underground facilities, fully supplied and stocked to hold as many people as they can, and it'll be just limited few. We're talking about weapons and training for crowd control because of the riots that they anticipate in the United States of America when the people really find out what's happening. The anticipation is that this Nibiru, the 10th planet, will be swinging back through around the sun and heading back out again. The theory is that a 3,000 year orbit, and there are five moons that circle this planet. It's calculated to be five times the size of Earth and several thousand miles of space junk and debris dragged along behind it. And that is the reason, that's where all the money's gone, and that is the reason for all the underground facilities. They have put together, you may or may not be aware, a lot of people are aware of this because it's been somewhat of a point of public information, and that is that they built a huge seed bank. It's an underground, into the side of a mountain seed bank, built up, I think it's near, I don't remember, Greenland or someplace like that. This is holds samples for regeneration of almost every growing plant on Earth, including a human sperm bank and an ovary, eggplant of human beings, put aside and into the side of the mountain. This has been put together since 96 or something like that. It's now completed and filled with 100,000 or whatever it is, 100,000 samples of every possible growing plant. I'm trying to remember where this thing is.
Yeah, I think it's Norway, but hold on.
Yes, that's great.
Hold on, we'll take a little break and come back and continue
sure.
as we talk to Bob Fletcher about Planet X.